we are institutionalizing an approach that focuses on risk management. In fact, we're doing this across the board, that we have not had disciplined risk evaluation processes. That's going to be part of it in an institutionalized sense. And then we have put in place some very simple but important principles that build on the success we've had in parts of the department and have those become enterprise-wide. I think we are, even though we are formally just at the beginning of implementing those changes, we've been actually doing it for the last year, and I think we are seeing the results already. I might say the Government Accounting Office has taken us off the watch list for projects below $750 million, and that's great news. Now we've got to work on those billion-dollar projects.
And it is hard to get off the high-risk list, so congratulations are due there. Give me a sense of what you're asking your employees to do that might be different from what they've done in the past.
Well, first of all, we have something called the Energy Systems Acquisition Advisory Board, ESAB. It turns out that has been a rather ad hoc procedure. A big decision comes on a very big project, and it meets. We are implementing a systematic situational awareness approach in which our risk committee will be meeting biweekly, and our ESAB, chaired by the Deputy Secretary, will meet at least quarterly so that we are going to be on top of problems before they get out of control. That's one important point. Then we are giving clear leadership, authority, and responsibility to our three undersecretaries, all of whom have offices that engage in major projects. They all have offices. They all have projects in the billion-dollar-plus range. Frankly, one of those, the science office, for example, historically has been quite successful. Environmental management, some of the nuclear weapons facilities have been less successful systematically. We've adopted the principles from the science line and are applying them in the other undersecretary lines, not slavishly. They all have variations suited to their culture and to their projects, but adhering to some very simple principles in terms of project ownership, budget responsibility, straight lines of authority, independent evaluations in each of the three lines. So it's especially for the environmental management and nuclear security projects, they've had to change their way of doing business.
How has your staff taken this?
I think we have reached a very good point. We worked at this for over a year, and part of it was because this was looking at some pretty fundamental changes. Let's just say it took a few iterations, but I think right now we have established these mechanisms in all three major areas of the department, and I think people are excited to move forward with this.
Are there dollar values associated with either in terms of what you have to do internally to set it up, the cost of setting up the new structure, and also in terms of the savings that you forecast to receive?
There's not really a cost so much associated with the reorganization. We're not creating lots of new positions or anything of this type, as opposed to, I think, organizing across the enterprise activities more effectively. For example, this risk management committee I mentioned for projects will principally be drawing on the current project experts across the department, but bringing them together in a way that's much more interactive, lessons learned, et cetera. Now, obviously, on the backside, we anticipate major savings in how we go forward. Months ago, I was able to dedicate a new plant in Kansas City that's part of our weapons program. This is an example where working creatively with the government in terms of how the financing was structured, we succeeded in cutting the footprint of the plant, the existing plant, in half, with associated tens of millions of dollars a year of operating savings. I mentioned this uranium facility. That is going to come in at within a fixed budget. It's something that the Office of Science has always done. we remain creative throughout the project and manage also to a budget, not just to a concept. That seemed attractive. So that's another case. And we are just facing up to when we have problems that we don't know right now what the cost and the cost controls are. We are not going to commit to a real budget baseline until we know that. Once we have that, however, the project owner has got responsibility, and that budget will suffer if the project does not meet the proper targets.
Your purview is so far flung with so many contractors, universities, and labs and the like. Have they been able to adjust to meet these changes, which might seem very drastic, I imagine, for some of those who are used to doing business with the Energy Department in a certain way?
Well, there have been some challenges, but that's fine. We want to shift more risk and associated reward to contractors to perform. We want to have performance that does not meet cost and schedule goals not result in an increase of fee to a contractor, for example, and vice versa. Better performance, better reward for the contractor.
How so?
Well, we will be looking forward to structuring contracts that have more of an incentive structure in them, and fees that, for example, are reduced or even go away if certain performance bands are not met. Without naming names right now, although it is public, we recently gave one contractor 10% of their annual fee. This was unprecedented. It has certainly caught their attention and the attention of many others. So I just think we have to align risk and reward both within the department in terms of project ownership, for example, and with our contractors. And it is a change. You're absolutely right. We have many meetings with them.
You said you've already seen some signs that this is working. Mm-hmm. Share some.
Well, for example, as I mentioned, in terms of the major projects, the science projects have historically had a much, much better track record. One good example of that right now is a major new synchrotron light source, billion-dollar scale at Brookhaven Laboratory, completed under budget and under schedule. We'll be cutting a ribbon there pretty soon. When we go to the more complex projects in Hanford, Washington State, we have probably the biggest, most complex environmental cleanup project. And first of all, we faced the fact that there were some unresolved technical issues. And then in agreement with the state, we have a fundamentally different phased approach where we will begin the process of producing our waste product, glass, for part of the inventory, more or less on time, while we have a phased approach to address the rest. And I think it's already an accomplishment that we have agreed with the state in terms of this basic approach. And then another one is the uranium facility for the weapons program. This is in Tennessee, and there. When the first signs of cost overrun started, we stopped. We put in a new approach based upon a red team headed by one of our major national lab directors. So we're using our brain trust to come relook at the project. They put forward a completely different modular strategy that has things like security requirements and safety requirements fit to purpose, and not blindly applied, frankly, across the entire enterprise. That is showing tremendous progress. We believe we are going to have the high-risk operations moved out of a particularly old and unsuitable facility by the end of this decade, while we complete the entire process by 2025 under a fixed budget cap of $6.5 billion for the project. So that's already going along. And I think we are acting along the lines of the principles we've set forward that we will now begin to formally institutionalize. Our risk management committee, for example, starting to meet next week for the first time, and then getting into their biweekly rhythm.
We're speaking with Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz. There are 2 years left of the Obama administration. How would you like to leave the Energy Department at the end of it?
Clearly, I think we have made a lot of progress. Progress in our missions, mission areas, energy, science, nuclear security, and cleanup. But I very much want to institutionalize some of these management changes, and that's what we are working on. So this process that I mentioned with the ESAB and the Risk Management Committee, I think we have 2 years to prove its worth, and then that presumably is the most important thing you can do to institutionalize a process, that it is clearly demonstrating value. We are doing that as well in areas such as changing the strategic relationship with our laboratory leadership, getting them involved in the takeoff as well as the landing, and a number of other changes of this type. But again, I would posit that it is all about showing demonstrable value from these changes, and then we assume the next administration will be very eager to continue that.